Final hour on this Monday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is a victory Monday for the Tennessee Titans for the first time this season, 22-21 over the Arizona Cardinals. No matter how weird it happened, it counts as one win on the record book. So the Titans no longer winless. They will look for back-to-back wins coming up on Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders. We will talk more Titans coming up in just a second. But we did want to step off to college football a little bit further because Penn State and Texas, what happened on Saturday? I was pretty locked in on the Vanderbilt game during that Penn State game, but just kept checking the score and thinking like, man, UCLA maybe is the worst power conference team in the country. Like, eventually Penn State's going to figure it out and win the game, but they did not. And James Franklin, the big question is always, can he win the big one? Well, he lost the big one on Saturday. And is it fair to say that probably does it for Penn State's playoff chances? Like,
I mean, if they win out, they still have Ohio State. If they win out and right, they're 10-2
okay, yeah,
Penn State.
If you beat Ohio State, then yeah, but that if you lose to Ohio State, it's over. Like, you're not getting in at 9-3 with that loss on your resume to UCLA. And is that Ohio State game in the shoe? I think it is.
Hold on. Like, yes, it is, because yeah, it was so, in Happy Valley last year.
Right, so Penn State, yes, I guess technically you are still in it. Like, you can win out and you could make the playoffs, but you do have to play at Ohio State. You get Indiana in Happy Valley. None of the rest of your games are all that tough. But it's not looking good for James Franklin. I will say, I did pick Penn State to miss the playoffs at the beginning of the year. I did. I put that out there
right about now.
I didn't pick them to lose this way. I thought it was going to be, you know, they lose three games to some good teams and they're on the outside looking in. But man, losing to UCLA, who's already fired their coach, that's horrible. I could not believe that was happening on Saturday, but UCLA gets the win. Penn State falls. They've now lost back-to-back games. And Texas, I think there was always kind of a feeling with Texas that it's like, all right, well, they were the number one team in the preseason for a reason. They're going to figure it out. They've got all this talent. But, I mean, to lose to Florida like that, and I get it, the Florida defense is good. They have a good defense down there in Gainesville. But you give up 29 points. Arch Manning throws two picks again. Texas, their schedule isn't so hard that they can't win out, but it's going to be a tough road. I mean, who would have thought at the beginning of the year, Texas and Penn State, they were the number two, they were the top two teams in the preseason coaches poll, the AP poll, actually. The coaches poll had Ohio State number two. So you had the top two teams in the preseason AP poll, and both may not make the playoffs at all. Both probably have to win out. Texas, they got Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry coming up this weekend. And then, you know, you got Georgia and Athens later on. You got A&M at home. The other games, you know, Vandy comes to town. That's not going to be super easy. They have to win out. And it's crazy to think that come December, the top two teams in the preseason AP poll may not be around.
Which game do you want to start on first?
Where were you most shocked? I mean, it has to be Penn State UCLA, right?
I mean, I guess we'll start with that one. For me, this is a classic Penn State. That one of the praises about Penn State was, they did not win the games that they were not supposed to win, but the games they were favored in, they always won.
Right.
Well, they were favored against Oregon, and they lost. They were favored against UCLA, big, and they lost. So this is the first time since 2021, Penn State has lost consecutive games. Yeah, this is tough. This is tough because you returned 78% of last year's team. This you had built up to this point for 4 years. You have a workable schedule. It's all right in front of you, and you lose in the fashion that they do. It's just unacceptable.
Yeah, it's horrible. You cannot lose to that UCLA team, who there was talk about whether UCLA would win any game this year, let alone beating a top 10 Penn State team. Like that, it can't happen. And James Franklin, you know, I don't think he's on the hot seat. Like they're going to give him a leash because he does have them in the conversation, right? They were in the college football playoff semifinals last year. But I think a loss like that is a big wake-up call, because typically it's like, all right, well, James Franklin, yeah, he's going to lose to Ohio State. He might lose to Oregon, but we're going to be 10-2 at the end of the year, and we're going to be playing in the college football playoff. But you can't lose to UCLA, who is the worst team in Power Conference football this year. You cannot do it.
Especially when you still have Ohio State on your schedule, you know that those two games are going to be tough. And if you lose those games, yeah, you're 10-2, but you're still in contention for a Big Ten championship, right? And you still have everything out in front of you, and you could be in a similar situation to last year where you made it all the way to the semifinals. But losing to UCLA, that puts a huge dent in your plans, and now you still have to go play Ohio State, and guess what? It's in the shoe. Yep. You don't get them at home.
And then you get Indiana at home the week after. Like, it is not going to be easy for Penn State to make the playoffs. Not going to be easy for Texas to make the playoffs. And I don't know if anyone would have thought that we'd be saying that this early in the year, right? Like, I think towards the end of the year, some fluky stuff happens and you're like, oh man, they just missed out. But to be talking about Texas and Penn State both having to run the table just to make the playoffs, crazy. And this has been a wild season of college football so far. This weekend, we got some more big games. I mean, Texas and Oklahoma, that's an elimination game for Texas. Like, you got to go win that game against an Oklahoma team that, yeah, doesn't have John Mateer, but still a very talented team. And then you got Indiana, Oregon getting game day this week. How about it? Usually
in a classic Big Ten matchup.
Usually it feels like the Texas State Fair is always a shoe-in for game day. They go there almost every year for Red River Rivalry, but this year they're going up to Eugene for Indiana, Oregon. I love it. Should be a fun one. Top 10 matchup.
Yeah, and for Texas, I wasn't the only one that said that. I know there were others that said this as well. But before the season, we talked about how there was a world in which Texas could have 3 losses before Halloween. Well, they already have 2, and now they have Red River next week. And just saying, the way Texas has played recently, even with Arch, I mean, this was probably Arch's best game, and it still wasn't good enough.
Right.
You consider how good Oklahoma's defense is, specifically the defensive line. Who's not to say that Texas will be 3-3 after this week?
Yeah, you worry about it spiraling quickly for Texas as they went from a possible national championship contender to now just trying to scrape by and see if they can make the playoffs with a run down the stretch. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Crazy weekend of college football. 4308 says Penn State losing is a product of the Big Ten's greed and having teams on opposite sides of the country in their conference. It's nothing about the athletes. That's fair. That's fair. Tim and Spring Hill sending that in. Like, you know, previously you didn't have to play a Big Ten game all the way across the country.
Yeah, 4 time zones away.
You know, not saying that that's the reason they lost, but I'm sure that it didn't help.
I think there is a little bit of truth to that, but I mean, Washington just won at Maryland, so
right,
that kind of debunks that, at least for this weekend. But there is a little bit of truth to that. Oregon won at Penn State.
Right. No, I mean, there's parts of that are true, but obviously that's not the whole reason. You got to show up and you got to win the game. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Time to get back to the Titans here. Titans got a win. It is a victory Monday. We will talk more about how the Titans got it done and whether this could spark a run as they head to Las Vegas this upcoming weekend. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday morning. It's Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on a Titans victory Monday. Titans somehow, some way got a win in Arizona yesterday, 22-21, it took, again, each fumble got more ridiculous than the next. Kyler Murray takes an early snap off his face mask. Titans able to recover as the Cardinals were in field goal range. Then Amani DiMarcado drops the ball before he gets over the end zone. Takes 7 points off the board for the Cardinals. Titans end up scoring a couple of plays later after Cam Ward makes a few nice throws down the field. Then Cam Ward throws a pick down in the red zone. Should have been the backbreaker that ended the game, but the DB fumbles it. It ends up bouncing into the end zone. Tyler Lockett recovers, and they score a touchdown to make it a two-point game. The Titans would score just a few minutes later on a Joey Sly field goal to win it 22-21. I said earlier that if these two teams played 1,000 times from 21-6, that the Titans win once, and was told I did bad math. Ricky on the YouTube chat said it would have been 850 times out of 1,000. I was just, you know, that was just hyperbole for me. I was just exaggerating. If you want the actual answer, the Titans at one point had a 1.8% chance to win. So that means they would have won 18 out of 1,000.
So this isn't the Doctor Strange situation.
Right, it's not one, I guess. It would be 982 out of 1,000 that they would lose if you want me to do the actual math. But the question is this a fluke or is this a step in the right direction that they can build off of, right? And that's why I think this week is a huge turning point for this Titans team because they have not played well at all, really in any of their games. Now, have they been in some games? Sure. Broncos game, they were in it to the very end. Rams and Texans games, they were in it heading into the fourth quarter. They came back. They got a win yesterday. This is an important week because it will show whether this team just needed to get that confidence and can build off of it, or was it just a fluke because the Cardinals gave it away to them? And I think that's what we're going to find out this week. Does this Titans team have the talent, have the wherewithal to go out and win another game against a team that's not very good in Las Vegas on Sunday? And I think a lot of it falls on the quarterback. Like, Cam Ward, we went through his stats through six quarters of the Texans game and the first half of the Cardinals game. It was like 15 for 42 for 190 yards in that span. Maybe not even that, 160 yards. So it wasn't good. But then he came out and he made a ton of plays. Those two balls to Calvin Ridley really couldn't have been thrown any better. The Gunnar Helm one, with pressure in his face, he muscled that ball and dropped it in the bucket to his tight end. Like, he made some plays and won that game for you yesterday. Can he start to do that on a more consistent basis? Can he go out and move the football consistently? Because those might have been the three best drives we've seen from the Titans all year long, all in consecutive fashion. Can he do that for a full game? And I'm not 100% sure that we're going to see the growth and people building and this team building off of it. But this is an opportunity to go win back-to-back games again for the first time in 3 years. They got to go do it. And they got to prove that what we saw yesterday is actual progress from this team and not just a flash in the pan fluke because the Cardinals fumbled the ball three times. 3337 says 100% chance they won. That's very true. Yes, you either win or you lose the game. 100% chance. Yes, they did win the game. But I'm saying that is not a sustainable way to win football games. They have to be able to play a full 60 minutes because in the future, other teams aren't going to just hand you the game like the Cardinals did yesterday. And we asked the question earlier of, like, if DeMarcado takes that into the end zone and it's 28-6 and the Titans kind of just go away with a whimper, does Brian Callahan keep his job today? Like, I think that's a legitimate question of whether Brian Callahan is the head coach of the Tennessee Titans today if they lose that game the way it looked like they were going to lose that game. But guess what? We don't have to have that conversation because they came back and they won. You got to do it again. And Brian Callahan's job is not safe by any means, but he got the win. And if he can go build on it and prove he's got this team heading in the right direction, maybe, you start to see the progress and see him get that seat that has been boiling hot all season long cooled down a little bit. Jeremy in Clarksville, I like this one on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, yes, the Titans got a W. It was like hunting deer for 10 years with no result. Then one day a deer ran in front of your truck. You got a deer. And that, I think that's a perfect way to put it. You got to be happy that you got the deer, be happy that you got the win, but you can't go out and play the way that you did yesterday and expect to win other games, right? Like, if you go down 21-6 against pretty much any other team in any other situation across the league heading into the fourth quarter, you're not going to win that football game for the most part. You got lucky. You used that luck and you took advantage of it. Can the Titans build off of it? Can Cam Ward build off of it and start to be a more consistently good quarterback? And can they go win a game in Las Vegas on Sunday? This is a huge week. Huge week. And I don't mean huge week in terms of, like, can this team make a run to the playoffs? They're not that good. Like, they are not going to be a playoff team. But if you want to see this team is trending in the right direction and making the plays necessary to actually win football games, this is a huge week to go out and beat a team that just got beat 40-6 by your division rival yesterday. Like, Vegas isn't that good. You can win this game. Go and play like you did in the last 10 minutes of that game yesterday. And, you know, you don't have to play all 60 minutes like that. Like, that'd be great. But do it on a more consistent basis, and you have a chance to actually win some football games. Larkin on our YouTube chat says, honest question, let's say Callahan brings the team to a 9-8 or 8-9 season. Middle of the pack ending, middle of the pack draft pick, but a 9-4, 8-5 finish this season. Does Callahan keep his job? Yes. If Brian Callahan finds a way to pull 8 wins out of this team, yes, he keeps his job. 100%. It's not going to happen, though. I think in order to have any chance to keep his job, they got to find a way to 6 wins. And you're already in a 1-4 hole. So that means what? Quick math. You got to go 5-6 down the stretch. Does that sound right? 5-7. You got to go 5-7 down the stretch. Which honestly, saying it out loud doesn't make me think that saves his job. But I think if you can get to 6 wins, you can at least have the conversation that Brian Callahan is trending this team in the right direction. But 5-7 the rest of the way, yes, it's way better than what we've seen, but is that enough to instill confidence that he can be your head coach moving forward? I'm not so sure about that. But they got to win, and we'll see what they can do this week with it. You know, momentum can be an important thing for this team, and, you know, just seeing that you've been able to win a football game, right? Like, proving it to yourself is kind of a big deal, right? Like, being able to prove, like, hey, we've been close in these games and haven't been able to finish. You went out and finished that game and won it. Maybe that's something that can spark this team to a win this week against Vegas.
Who was the guy that broke the, oh my gosh, sorry. Who was the guy that broke the 4-minute mile?
Oh, I have no
idea. Back in the day.
I have no idea.
There was some guy that broke a 4-minute mile, and it used to believe that you could never break a 4-minute mile, and then he broke it, and then all these other people started breaking it. Sometimes all you just got to do is see it happen, and it's like, you know, if you're to use a basketball term, like, if you're in a shooting slump and you see one go through the net, sometimes that's all you need to break out of it.
Yeah. No, it's a good point, and that's kind of what we've been saying of, like, we're not going to pick the Titans to win a football game until they actually win a football game. And now they've done it. They won a football game. And we're getting both sides of the fan base saying either we're being too positive or being too negative this morning. Like, the Titans, it is fair to say, more than fair to say, that they did not play a good football game yesterday. The entirety of that game, like, if you're looking to grade the Titans' performance from yesterday, is probably a C-. And that's brought up by a ton by the last 10 minutes of that game.
That's so fair, because they played, you know, what, a good quarter of football?
Right. Like, I'm not going to sit here and celebrate like they just put themselves in first place in the division because they played a C-minus game, but the Falcons didn't even complete the assignment in the fourth quarter and got a zero. Like, that's, yes, it's a win. And I think if this win can be that, you know, like we talked about, like, seeing the ball go through the net, then it's important, because now Cam Ward has proven that he can go win you a football game, and he did it. Now let's do it again. Like, that's the big thing here, is, like, yeah, it's great to win a football game, but does it make you happier if you're 1-16 versus 0-17? Maybe a little bit. At least you know you're not going to be part of history. You got to go and prove that this is progress and not just a fluke, because a lot of things had to go right for you to win that football game yesterday. Go win a game where the other team didn't hand it to you. Like, let's go see that on Sunday. And I think if the offense plays like they did down the stretch, they could go beat the Raiders. They could do it pretty handily. Like, not saying by 30 like the Colts did yesterday, but you could go beat the Raiders 28-17 next week if your offense plays the way it did down the stretch. Let's see if they can go do it.
I think this does kind of show that they have learned from previous mistakes, because the Broncos tried to hand the Titans the game and they didn't win it. The Cardinals tried to hand the Titans the game and they capitalized. But if you're still skeptical that this team isn't going to build off of this and in previous weeks or upcoming weeks, you have every right to believe that just based on what we've seen on the field from the Tennessee Titans. But it's kind of like you just got to go out and do it. You know, talking only gets you so far.
Yep, and I think it's an important win for the morale in that locker room to just to get one under their belt. And this is an important week. You're facing a team that, again, they're 1-4 too, just like you, and they just got blown out last week. Can you go take advantage of this momentum and get a win? And then you come back home and you face a Patriots team that they're the talk of the town right now after beating the Bills last night. Like, everybody's giving Vrabel props. Drake May's getting put in MVP conversations. Like, they have to come here in a game that you know there's going to be a lot of emotions for from everybody, the fan base. A lot of these players still played for Mike Vrabel when he was here. Not a majority of them, but some of them. And obviously ownership. Like, that's a big game for Brian Callahan in this team. If you can win this week and come back here with some momentum, who knows what could happen. I don't think this team ends up being anywhere close to a 500 team, but you got to see progress, and maybe this is finally, after trending downwards for 4.5 weeks, you finally have flipped it going back in the other direction.
Maybe it is that simple. It was that simple for Cam Ward. I mean, he turned it on during that 2-minute drill. I'm like, oh my gosh, where has this been? And where's the offense been?
Right.
Like this. Why couldn't you do this for even 2 quarters of the game yesterday? Why is it just you wait until the very end? But Gotta celebrate the wins.
Right.
Gotta celebrate the wins.
And hey, credit to Calvin Ridley too. We haven't talked enough about him. He's been one of the main, public enemy number one. Number two, we'll say Callahan's been number one, obviously. But Ridley's been getting a whole lot of flack from people for what he's done over the first 4 weeks of the year. And rightfully so. Like, he was not good. He's expected to be the wide receiver one. He made a couple of big plays in yesterday's game. And that's what the Titans need from him moving forward. You need that guy to be a go-to for Cam Ward. We saw it last year that once he got going a little bit, he got more consistent. Can he do it again? Maybe yesterday is the spark for him. Wes in Clarksville on our text line says, I still don't think Callie gets it. I'm going to be upset if he gets us 4 or 5 wins, gets fired, and costs us the number one pick because he started getting lucky. I mean, I have not changed my opinion that Brian Callahan is not going to be the head coach in 2026.
Like, and it's going to be hard to get lucky 4 or 5 times,
right?
Especially in the NFL.
Like,
that doesn't happen that much.
If they start winning games, it's not going to be because the team just gave it to them like yesterday. Right? Like, that's not going to happen every week. But we'll see what he can do. Now that you've gotten that win, like, there's been all the talk of, like, we just need to win a game. Prove that can be a catalyst for your team this year, and it's not just a flash in the pan. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will get to your phones. And also, we will talk about Jeffrey Simmons, because he was a disruptor once again yesterday. Simmons continues to be the best player on this Titans roster, and I really don't think it's all that close. We'll talk about Jeffrey Simmons coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. That was Brian Callahan after the game yesterday, talking about his defense, the way they fought after a really tough start to that game. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. with a catch that isn't going to be remembered, but what a ridiculous catch on that first drive. Got them just shy of the end zone. They ended up scoring. Went down, scored again quickly, got to 14 points. Tony Pollard's fumble in the second quarter ended up making it 21-6, and the Titans looked like they were dead and buried at that point, and did really until the end of the game. But the defense really stepped up. I thought they made some big plays. L'Jarius Sneed, you know, he didn't touch the ball on that fumble from DeMarcado. Running into the end zone. Like, it's not like L'Jarius Sneed went and peanut punched that thing out of the back of the end zone. But I did like the hustle. because L'Jarius Sneed, we've seen him just make some mental errors. Last week, the second and 33, why are you pressing Nico Collins? And, you know, Denard Wilson said he was kind of doing his own thing on that play. To see him try and chase that down, and I don't know if he impacted it at all, but it was good to see the effort. And, man, Jeffrey Simmons, that dude is a baller. I mean, I got to give him a lot of credit. There was a lot of talk about him at the beginning of the year of like, man, is he going to become this all-pro level player that we expected him to be after that 2021 season? Like when he got those three sacks on Joe Burrow in the playoff game, I think the expectation that was that he is going to be one of the best interior linemen in the NFL for the next 5 years. And it just it hadn't been that good. Like, he was a fine player, but he wasn't disruptive over the last couple of seasons. And so far this year, I believe Brian Callahan said it in his postgame presser yesterday that he's playing at a defensive player of the year type caliber. I don't know if it's that good, but it's definitely all pro level. Like, if you watch him play,
100%.
He is in the backfield on almost every single play. He is making plays for this team. And we had texters last week saying he's not playing that well. Watch the film. I'm watching every single game. And the one guy on that defense who I notice consistently is Big 98 in the middle. So, got to give him credit. He had another sack and a half yesterday. He impacted the game all day long. Got to give credit to Jeffrey Simmons. And it's not just his play on the field. We questioned his maturity a lot, too. And there was the scuffle with Cam Ward in the preseason. And, you know, last year he started the fight in training camp and Callahan didn't throw him out. I think what we've heard from Jeffrey Simmons has been more mature as well. Like last week saying that he talked to Cam Ward about the "we ask" comments, which, you know, I think there's good and bad from that. But it does seem like Jeffrey Simmons has taken on more of a leadership role. He's become a better leader, and he's playing better on the field. So got to give him his flowers. He has far and away been the Titans' best player. When the Titans were losing yesterday, I saw Robbie Stanley tweeted out, "Is there a bigger gap in the NFL between a team's first and second best player with Jeffrey Simmons and whoever the second best player is on the Titans?" And he might be right, because Simmons is far and away the Titans' best player.
Yeah, Big Jeff is looking elite. And there was a point yesterday in the game, and I know Chase mentioned this last week on a show with Big Joe. I actually felt sorry for Big Jeff I think this was after halftime, but I'm like, this dude went out, he lost 20 pounds, he's doing everything that he can to help this team win, and it's paid off. It really has. And yet they still can't get it right. But then the tide turns, obviously, when the Titans end up winning the game. But man, like, he is. I watch the defense too, and he is the player that I consistently notice every single time. He is just swarming around the football every single play.
Yeah, I mean, you notice, I think Cedric Gray has had some good moments. I thought the edge rushers were better yesterday. They at least helped a little bit with Jeffrey Simmons, but he is really the only guy that you look at and you watch the Titans defense play and say, that guy is a problem. And it's good to see, you're right, that he has been impacting these games on a consistent basis and the rest of the team didn't help him out. It was good to see the offense pick him up, because he really has been playing good football. I will say, though, last week I was on I still am not anti-trading Jeffrey Simmons. Like, I get it. What message does that send to the locker room? And TD did kind of swayed my opinion a little bit with his thoughts on a Jeffrey Simmons trade. But if you don't start to see the progress, like, you won this game yesterday, can you go and build on it? And you've got a month until the trade deadline. Can you go and build on it over this next month to the point where you're like, all right, well, maybe this team is closer than we thought they were. They're still not a playoff contender. No, nowhere close. But maybe this team is closer in the rebuilding process than we thought through the first 4 weeks. Then I understand you don't trade him. But if this looks more like a fluke, a flash in the pan, you lose to the Raiders, you lose to the Patriots, you lose to the Colts again, I still would not 100% be against it, because I don't know if his trade value is ever going to be higher than it is right now. The way he's playing, I think you could go get premium draft capital for Jeffrey Simmons at the trade deadline. And again, it's one of those situations where he's under contract for the next 2 years. You have all the leverage. You don't have to give him away. But I think if the team is, you know, 1-6, 1-7, when you get close to the trade deadline, I still wouldn't hate it if you set a price and somebody was willing to meet it.
Yeah, and obviously the tough part about this conversation is Robbie's right. Like, Jeff Simmons is the only elite-level player right on this team, and to give him up would be tough, but you also bring up a good point. His trade value is probably never going to be higher, especially with the way that he's playing right now, and other executives, other scouts around the league consider Jeffrey Simmons to be a top five player at his position. So if you're able to turn that and get some draft capital out of it, get some picks in return, which is what this front office has been talking about, draft, develop, retain, there's no better way to do that than if you trade an elite level player.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, like, do you think this team is one offseason away? Because if you get past this next year, you're going to have to extend Jeffrey Simmons, or maybe he wants out at that point. Do you think you can fix this team's problems and get back to being a, maybe not a, like a division winner, but a playoff contender next year? There are a lot of holes on this team. I'm not 100% sure that they can turn this around in one offseason, but you do have $125 million in cap space, and you hope that you're in a position to maybe trade back out of your high first-round pick. So there's a lot for Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker and that whole front office staff to work through over the next couple of weeks. I think a lot of it just depends on what the team does on the field. If the team is able to win a couple games over the next month, I think it wouldn't send the right message when the team is starting to show progress to trade away their best player. But obviously, if you play more like you did in the first three quarters yesterday than the last quarter for the next month, then I could see it happening. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Titans do get the win yesterday, 22-21. They are 1-4 on the year. One of the wildest games you'll ever see, but the Titans pulled it out. And again, they don't show pictures in the standings. You have a win on your record, which was not the case before yesterday's game. 615-737-1025. One final segment for us. Last call for phones. We'll get you off to Chase and Big Joe. Coming right back, you're on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Final segment on this Victory Monday for the Tennessee Titans. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Titans got the win in one of the strangest games that you will ever see. I just rewatched all of the crazy stuff the Cardinals did down the stretch. Somebody made a TikTok of 5 plus 2 honorable mentions of all the things that had to go right for the Titans to win that game. But again, you don't ask how you get the wins. They ask how many wins. And the Titans do have one after the victory yesterday, 22-21 over the Arizona Cardinals. And again, it took a whole lot for the Titans to even get in any kind of position to win that game, right? Like, it took them getting some of the craziest fumbles you'll ever see. The Cardinals didn't try and throw the football on their last drive at all and let the Titans get the ball back. But as I said at the beginning of the show, let's give credit to Cam Ward for making some big-time throws down the stretch. And the next step for Cam Ward, obviously, is being more consistent. I've been saying it since the Rams game. He has to do the normal quarterback things at a high level. It's great to be able to make the hero ball plays because a lot of the great quarterbacks in this league do that stuff. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, all those guys have the ability to make the crazy play when you need a crazy play. But the reason that they're good and they're in the playoffs and they're in AFC championships every year is because they can make the regular plays on a consistent basis. And we did see that down the stretch from Cam Ward. Like, the throws that are getting all of the headlines are the 2 to Ridley and the 1 to Helm. And those were great throws. But you also saw him take what the defense was giving to him, especially on that final drive of the game. Couple of dump-offs to Tony Pollard where he could get out of bounds, stop the clock. He found Gunnar Helm at the sticks for a first down on a third down. He found Chigakonkwo over the middle with room to run and got them up to midfield. Like, that's what you need from him, and you hope that after doing it for just one quarter in Arizona, that he can do those things for a longer period of time coming up this weekend in Las Vegas. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Danny in Clarksville is on the line. Danny, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, how's it going? I just wanted to say I definitely agree. I think that they definitely need to learn how to capitalize on mistakes, because I don't think the teams that they're going to be coming up against for the rest of the year are going to be making as many as Arizona did this game. So they definitely need to learn to capitalize more on the stuff that's given to them. Otherwise, this will probably be their only game, maybe another few that they win. I don't know if I missed the college segment or not, but I just wanted to say I think I'm finally happy that this whole Heisman Trophy for Vanderbilt thing is kind of out the window, because I feel like that was the only thing that people were ever talking about for Vanderbilt, and they got pretty embarrassed. But yeah, that's pretty much all I wanted to say.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Danny. I mean, it was obviously a bad performance for Vanderbilt on Saturday, and Diego Pavia, the two red zone turnovers were a big reason why they lost. But I mean, they got six more games in front of them, and if they can go beat LSU next week, they put themselves right back in the thick of the playoff race. You know, easier said than done. LSU's a really good team, but they've struggled offensively this year. We'll see what happens. Vandy's got the bye week this week to kind of regroup after that tough loss down in Alabama. Skyler asks, how much of his footwork being all over the place is causing issues with the short consecutive throws? And I think that's a good point, that the footwork not being consistent may be why the ball placement has been a little bit all over the place. You look back at the interception last week against the Texans, you know, trying to make that throw on the run. Ball gets tipped by Elikaya Manor right into the hands of Derek Stingley. We saw it even as the Titans were making their comeback yesterday. He tried to do a little bit too much on that play down deep in the red zone. Yeah, it was kind of an unlucky tip the way it went up, but you put the ball in danger by making that throw. Ended up being intercepted. You know, it goes into the end zone and Tyler Lockett recovers it for a touchdown. But, you know, those are the things that maybe you look at as a concern for Cam Ward, of just can't get his feet straight, and that's leading to some of these deflected balls and inconsistent ball placement, which we saw a couple of times on third down yesterday.
I think we're seeing it with not just Cam, but quarterbacks across the league. When their feet start to get sped up and the rhythm gets all kind of out of whack, that's when you start missing throws left and right. That's when you start missing throws high. And tips and overthrows are a quarterback's worst nightmare. So it all starts from the ground up if you're a quarterback. If your feet are right, you have your proper base, then more than likely the ball is going to end up where you intended it to go.
Yeah, and we saw Cam Ward a little bit inconsistent early on in the game, a lot bit inconsistent. I mean, he was 5-16 in the first half. I thought it was funny. I noticed on they did the two shots to Chimdike down the field, and Cam Ward overthrew both of them. I think it was the first one. If anybody goes back and watches the broadcast, you can see Cam Ward getting the play call from Bo Hardigree, and he smiles a little bit. Like, you saw the little smirk on his face as he went to go call the play. And I said to my fiance, I was like, this is going to be a deep ball. Because Cam Ward, you could just see on his face that he's been waiting to run this play. And he missed the throw. But I like the game plan from Bo Hardigree better in this game. And if Cam Ward can be consistent and get into that flow state that we saw late in the game, this is a team that can win more games. Not a lot of games, but they can win more games, including on Sunday against Las Vegas. Again, the Raiders got beat 40-6 on Sunday. Jackson on our text line says, no chance Titans beat the Raiders. You're telling me Callahan is going to outcoach Pete Carroll? Don't think so. I mean, if it's all about coaching, did Shane Steichen outcoach Pete Carroll yesterday? Like, the players on the field matter too, and the Raiders...
coaching does matter, but so do the players.
Right. It's like, if the Titans execute, they have a chance to go beat the Raiders. The Raiders are 1-4 for a reason. So,
and Geno Smith leads the league in interceptions
right
once again.
And again, this is a huge game for the Titans in terms of just the overall growth of this team. Can you prove that you can go out, build off the momentum from a win, and get back-to-back wins? It's been 3 years. go win consecutive games for the first time since November of 2022. This is a golden opportunity to go get a win, keep those good feelings going, coming back home. This team's not going to be in the playoff hunt. You're probably not winning more than five or six games, but can you show progress? You got to win. It was given to you. Go take a win on Sunday against Las Vegas. That does it for us here on this Monday. We'll have plenty more Titans reaction tomorrow. Nick Frazier going to join for Tony Tuesdays here on Next Man Up. We'll talk plenty of Titans, plenty of college football, and much more. Chase and Big Joe coming up next with their reactions to the Titans win yesterday in Arizona. Keep it right here on 102.5 The Game.